The word epiphany is a Greek word, one that we sometimes use outside the church. Because you probably hear people say, at least sometimes, "I've had an epiphany," by which they mean something has suddenly become quite clear. Like a light bulb going off in your head, everything starts to click. And whereas everything was dark before, now everything is suddenly filled with light, so that even if it didn't make sense before, suddenly it does now. Well, in our gospel reading for today, we see an epiphany. Jesus is coming back home to Nazareth. And since it was the Sabbath, he went, as he always did every week, to the synagogue, the same one that he went to as a boy. And now that he was grown up and a teacher, they invited him to stand up and to read. And the appointed reading for the day came from the prophet Isaiah, specifically chapter 61. Well, in that part of Isaiah, Isaiah is talking about the future glory of God's people, even though for so long they had turned away from the Lord. For so long they had walked in sin. God had been so incredibly patient with them, but justice finally demanded that something had to be done. So God forced them out of the land. He sent them far away into exile, where they would have to live among strangers, far away from the promised land. But even though God had to send them away, and justly so, in mercy he did not forget his promises either. Israel would not be cast off forever. God would bring them back again. But when God brought them back, it was not just going to be business as usual. They weren't going to just go back to the way things were. Instead, as Isaiah shows us, God would make them greater than they were before. And in that glorious future, in that coming glory, they would truly be his people. In that coming glory, they would truly walk in righteousness. They would truly be holy. Their hearts would be cleansed of all idolatry, and the shame that they now endured would be taken away. In that coming glory, the nations would no longer oppress them, but rather rejoice with them. In that coming glory, there would no longer be mourning, but rather gladness and an everlasting joy. Isaiah pointed God's people towards a future that far exceeded everything they had ever known. He gave them an eternal hope in the midst of all their distress. But what exactly did it mean? I mean, it's one thing to say that things are going to be better, as Isaiah did. But how exactly would it be better? Well, that's what wasn't quite so clear to them. And in fact, the more time went on, the more puzzling that question became. Because yes, God did bring them back to the land, just as he said he would. But things didn't seem to get better. If anything, they got worse. I mean, yes, they were in the promised land. That much was true. But the same sins came back. As we see in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, there was the same indifference, the same intermarrying, even some of the same idolatry as there was before. And as the book of Esther shows us, there were some people who didn't want to come back home. They just didn't care. They were happy to stay away forever. And as prophets like Haggai show us, the temple of the Lord was not rebuilt very quickly. And it wasn't even so much because of the things going on around them as it was the indifference and the negligence of the people. And on top of all of that, from the time of Isaiah all the way down to the time of Jesus, God's people were ruled by other nations. First the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. Israel continued to be oppressed by the nations, even in their own land. So all of this meant that they were unsure what exactly Isaiah meant. Yes, something better was to come. Yes, there was a coming glory. But what exactly was it? God's people were wandering around in the dark. So it must have come as a bit of a shock on that day when Jesus handed back the scroll. And he sat down to preach, because that's what you did in those days. And the first words of his sermon were, as we hear in verse 21, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Here then was the light in the midst of their darkness. Here was their epiphany. Jesus himself was the fulfillment of Isaiah's promises. In Jesus, mourning would give way to rejoicing. In Jesus, shame would give way to glory. In Jesus would be true righteousness and true holiness. In Jesus, the nations would be joined together into one. Jesus has come as the revelation of God's glory and as the revelation of God's mercy. So how are things going to be better then? Well, listen again to the words of Isaiah, but keeping in mind that these are all talking about Jesus. We hear starting in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, all of these things that Isaiah was talking about were not material earthly blessings the way that Israel once thought. Because if they were just earthly blessings, how would that solve anything? Honestly, it would just lead to all the same problems, all the same sorrows, just as it did before. But God never meant these things to be worldly blessings. God meant them as spiritual blessings. Jesus came to proclaim good news to the spiritually poor, those who know that they don't have anything to offer God and know that they cannot stand before him. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the spiritually captive, those bound in the devil's kingdom and chained in sin. Jesus came to proclaim new sight to the spiritually blind, those that know they cannot see God but long to do so. And Jesus came to declare all of these things. And what greater good news could there be than that Jesus has come to declare that your sins are forgiven, that you are no longer bound to walk in darkness, but rather you have the light of life. What greater good news could there be, Christians, than that heaven is yours? Not because you somehow earned it, but because Jesus suffered and died so that you might live. This indeed is the year of the Lord's favor. God has come to lift up his people. God has come to join the nations into one. And for those who believe in him, there is mercy and not wrath. And all of the sorrows of this life, all of the burdens caused by sin, will give way to a joy and a glory which will never come to an end. This then is the great epiphany. Our Savior has been revealed to us. And walking in his light, we will find true joy, true peace, and rest. Let us therefore come to him and hold on to his gracious words. knowing that in him is life, eternal life in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has sent your Son into the world to be the light of man, enlighten our hearts through your holy word, so that we may walk in his light and be saved. In his name we pray. Amen.